him to be tested by it.
Right, so we're in Mark 6, and it is verse 30 to verse 34. Just for anybody who's listening, we've already read it out, so we won't read it again. We'll just go straight into the talk. Okay. So, just to set the scene, the disciples have just come back from doing their mission trips. You know, they were Jesus commissioned them, and he sent them off into the towns, local area, and it sounds like they've come back and they've got another ministry organized waiting for them, just a crowd of people. And it says they were very busy with the crowd, and the chances are that being the 12 disciples, they would be doing things. They wouldn't just be sitting listening to Jesus. They'd probably be doing that at times, but the implication of being a disciple is one who follows. So it's like, this is Jesus' ministry, they're part of it. So it's not like he's doing it and they're just kind of tagging along, kind of enjoying it. It's like they're working. Yeah, there's a place in the Bible where I think it says they were the ones who were baptizing people when people were baptized. You know, I don't know whether they brave people, or I mean, they were certainly giving out the loaves and the fish, you know. So there was definitely an element of, we're following Jesus, but we're doing what he's doing. We're kind of, we're helping his ministry, if you like. And they were so busy they were missing meals, you know. So I mean, I don't know how long this went on for, but I do remember when I came back from my mission trip to Hong Kong, I spent a month and I was pretty depressed, to be honest, because you just go from like everything's happening, it's amazing, to real life. Oh wow. And just kind of, it's like back down to earth. But I came down with a bit of a crash, to be honest, and I didn't handle it very well. But I mean, these guys, they come straight back and they've got another ministry. They're ministering to a crowd of people after going into all the cities. And it's like, you can only keep this up for so long. You have to have time to kind of rebuild your internal strength so you can keep ministering. And Jesus is responsible for the well-being of the disciples. You know, if they're following him, he's leading them, then he's in charge of it, and he's responsible for their well-being. And I don't know what leads him to kind of go, okay, it's time to kind of let's go away for a while. But I mean, maybe the disciples were a bit quarrelsome, they were obviously a bit hot-headed, so you know, they could just have been kind of going, oh man, we've got another crowd of people, let's just, you know, they could have just been exhausted. And something about that moment, Jesus went, right, it's time to just kind of call away. And I really like the stories where Jesus, I'll say he is human, sorry, that's the wrong way. It's like when you see the weakness of humanity in Jesus, yeah. That makes it so. I mean, there's a popular kind of cultural idea that Jesus had a halo around his head all the time, and you know, he was shining and he walked on air. It's like, well, no, read the Bible. I mean, it's gritty, it's dirty at times. You know, I mean, he was obviously exhausted himself. He had every limitation that you and I had. The only difference is that he didn't sin at all. You know, but insofar as, you know, after a hard day's work, you'd be tired. That's exactly how you and I feel. That's exactly how he would have felt. So he was probably ready for a bit of a rest himself. And I was thinking, if Jesus needed to rest, and if he needed his disciples to rest, then you and I need to as well. And rest looks different for lots of different people. So it doesn't just mean sitting there doing nothing. You know, that might be part of it. I mean, for me, I often find when I'm stressed, what I need to do is I just need to go off on my own, because I'm a bit of an introvert, actually, to sit there. Sometimes I'll just kind of read a book, sometimes I'll read the Bible, but I just need a moment to kind of quiet down all the loud world things going on during a day, and just kind of like, just this is just me, you know, me and God, just spend the moment kind of putting back together the damage of the, it's not damage exactly, but it, do you know what I mean? You just get worn out, and you just kind of need to put yourself back together so you can kind of keep going. And some people that maybe they go out and do gardening, or you know, maybe go out and fix something like that. It looks different for different people. Some people, they sit there and have to do nothing. Some people have to do something. And there's no necessarily right way of doing rest. I mean, you know, you could rest by working out, like doing some exercise or something, and you go, well that doesn't sound very restful. But no, it's a change of pace, which is really the important thing. It's like you're pausing in the daily work, and you're doing something different that's just kind of relaxing, or something that's strengthening you, if that makes sense. And there's no right way of doing it. I do think one of the most important ways that Christians can rest is by just reading the Bible and just praying and waiting on God. There's a verse, I'll just read it to you, which is a very well-known verse. So it's Isaiah 14, it's 29-31. It says, "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." And there's a certain element of, when God designed us, he made us need to rest. You know, he gave us a whole day for it. And part of that rest, at least part of it, maybe all of it, needs to involve him, and it needs to come from him. There's an element of, when you're with God, you're gaining strength. And we, as Christians, we cannot neglect that, otherwise we will never grow properly. I can't really stress that enough. That was one of the. I think that's the first main point, is rest is a good thing, and you need it. But obviously, in this story, when Jesus takes the disciples across the lake, it doesn't quite go according to plan. See, God has other ideas. And again, that's an interesting one, because God didn't say to Jesus, you know, you're not going to rest now. You've still got ministry. Jesus just went, right, let's just go away. Let's just go to quiet place. And God went, right, I've got a different plan. And so all the crowd went, and it actually created an interesting opportunity. Now, I don't know about you, but as I say, I'm a bit of an introvert. If I thought, right, I need to just go away for a while, I just need to go across the lake, and I went across the lake, and there was a crowd there, I'm not going to lie, inside I'd be like, God, why? I mean, why? I just need a moment, God. I just need, you know, maybe we should just turn around and go back where we came from, you know. You know, maybe they've all just run there and we can just sneak up. Like, there'd be something inside me which would just kind of just go, just a bit of a sinking feeling. And that's, you know, maybe that's something that God needs to deal with in me. I don't know, maybe there's times when I'm going to have to go, okay, God, I'm just going to have to suck it up and get on with it, you know, because of the job here. But Jesus doesn't even do that. And it's a very interesting, because my Bible says Jesus has compassion on the people. And I once heard somebody say compassion is love in action. I think that's a very good definition. It's like there's something internal, it's like I need to do something about this, and I need to help these people. And he says they're like sheep, and sheep are not very clever. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about it. Like sheep. I mean, if a sheep gets caught, it needs somebody to get it out. Sheep need people to feed them. They need people to shave them, otherwise they'll keep growing their wool. Like, I mean, the dependency of a sheep has upon the shepherd or whoever is, you know, the farmer with it, is, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, sheep are not capable on their own. You don't ever see wild sheep. You see wild goats, you see wild all sorts of things, but don't see wild sheep, because they just don't do well in the wild. So, you know, he's looking at the crowd, they're like sheep, and he has compassion upon them. And rather than sending them away and saying, you know what, guys, I'm just, we're having a bit of a ministry downtime, I'm not praying for any healings now, you need to leave. Rather than do that, he says, right, I'll preach to them. I'm going to preach to them. You know? And it's like he knows who he is. You know, he knows exactly why God sent him to earth, and he knows God's purpose, and he can see it. And despite what he wants, he can see this is actually what God wants. And so the second thing I'd like to say is, while rest is essential, obedience is even better. It's a bit of a, you know, you won't always feel like doing what God wants you to do. You know, sometimes you're like, God, I need time to myself. And God will be like, I've got a plan. You're a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. You know, if you don't do it, I've got nobody else to do it. Because you're the guy I've chosen. You're the person that I've picked. And it's like, we need to rest, but even more than that, you need to obey. And sometimes obedience means when you feel like doing something, God will say, no, you need to go and rest. You need to do this because, you know, you need to spend time with me. Sometimes when you want to rest, God will say, no, now isn't the time to rest. Now's the time for action. Now's the time for doing something. And, you know, we have our plans. God has his. Who is Lord? Who's in charge? That's the key.
Can I just add, it's really significant that when they feel the need for rest, I've only just thought of this, when they feel the need for rest, and so does Jesus seemingly, they end up having to work effectively and serve and preach. But actually in Psalm 23 it says, he, that's the Lord, makes me lie down in green pastures. So that implies that sometimes the activities that we think we should be doing, where God's like, no, you rest, or Mary and Martha, but then it can work either way, but ultimately the obedience is the key.
Yeah.
So sorry. Just
no, that's good. That's to be honest, that's perfect. I hadn't thought of the psalm, but that's exactly what I got. So. What I'd like to kind of draw from this is whenever God gives you a task, he'll always give you the ability to do it. And it doesn't always feel like that, but feelings aren't important, faith is. You know, that's a bit of a hard lesson, and I've had to learn it a few times. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel, God says, you've got a job, this is what you're going to do. And God will give you the ability. And that doesn't mean it's not going to be without hard work. You know, it's not always, God's going to do it all and we'll stand there and just watch. You know, sometimes it involves getting your hands dirty and, you know, doing something. I was saying earlier that the obedience created an opportunity. And the opportunity was very interesting because they were in the towns. If anybody was hungry, they'd just go into town and buy food. But because they were taken, my Bible says they were taken to a secluded place. You know, they were somewhere remote. It was somewhere off the beaten track. A deliberate attempt to take them out of the towns and cities where they were preaching so that they could actually have some relaxation time. But because they were there, it created an opportunity for God. It's because they had no way to go back and get food without walking a long way, and the disciples had clearly noticed this, and it, you know, created a, they were clearly thinking about what can we do now, but God had already made the plan even before even before Jesus decided, right, let's go and take a rest somewhere, God had already decided, right, I'm going to do a miracle. No, I'm just going to set it up. You know, Jesus, you're going to need to go there, right, all the crowd, go on. And because they were out in the middle of nowhere, it created God an opportunity to reveal something of Jesus' character and his nature as Jesus the provider. I'd like to just seeing how God did, how God actually did this is interesting, because everybody kind of had their own idea. You know, the fact of the matter is there were probably lots of rocks around where God could have turned it into bread. You know, he'd already been tempted to do that by the devil. You know, what an opportunity. Presumably they were in the middle of nowhere, lots of rocks around, you could have easily done something, but God, that wasn't God's plan. And God had actually already provided everything that they needed, they just in the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then there was the disciples. Now the disciples were men of action, shall we say. They were, I mean, reading about them, they were very much, you know, this is what we need to do, this is what let's do, this, let's, and sometimes Jesus had to say, hang on a minute, you're not doing it God's way. And the disciples had obviously given this some thought. You know, they were probably looking at Sai going, oh, it's getting a bit late, we haven't eaten for a while, now, there's a lot of people here, has anybody got, no, we haven't got any food. And they clearly, when they went to Jesus, they'd obviously given it some thought themselves, and he gives them, they have a very reasonable question. You know, shall we send them away? I feel like Jesus' response is a bit unreasonable. You give them enough food, you know. And so then they come up with another question. That's another reasonable one. Shall we go and buy some food? And it's like, well, no. What have you already got? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that was about 4 loaves and 2 fish more than God needed. You know, probably 5 loaves and 2 fish more than God needed, to be honest. But, you know, God had already sent enough in somebody who just brought a packed lunch or whatever, you know. I mean, that, I don't know about you, but I've never had a packed lunch result in quite such a spectacular display, but it must have been quite, I was just thinking, elsewhere it talks about it being a little boy who has the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and I was just thinking, imagine that kid going home to his mother, and imagine his mother saying, so how do you like packed lunch? Well, I enjoyed it, so did everybody else. I didn't send you that much. So, well, we've got 12 baskets full here, you know. And it's like, this was the pack lunch. You end up with a lot more than you were sent with. And I just think, that would be a very interesting conversation. I wish I could have kind of just kind of earwigged in on that and just kind of listened to that and seen what the reaction was. But, you know, the disciples looked around, they found the 5 loaves, they found 2 fish, and that was all that God needed. In fact, that was more than enough. And Jesus prayed for it, and he was able to do the miracle. You know, it says that he just kept handing bread to the disciples. He was giving it out to the big groups, about 50 or 100. And you just imagine what the disciples were thinking. I don't know whether the other people knew that a miracle was going on. Like, maybe they didn't. Maybe some of them heard. But the disciples must have been thinking, we only had 5 loaves. Why am I carrying 23? Where did these come from? We only had 2 fish. How come we've got enough for 5,000 people? You know, the story says itself, it speaks for itself, really, when you think about it. But, and it reveals something, as I say, about Jesus. And it reveals that he is an all-sufficient provider. And something I'm growing and learning, being a bit unemployed at the moment. I was reading this, I was thinking, God knows exactly what's coming in your life. Okay, there's never anything that's going to happen where God goes, oh, well, that's a surprise. I wasn't expecting that. You know, he's not shocked by anything. In whatever situation you find yourself, God goes, I knew this was coming and I prepared it. The question is, can you know, Are you listening to find out God's plan there? The second thing, it's like he owns the whole of creation. Okay? So Jesus is the all-sufficient provider. He knows what's coming in your life, and he owns everything. Okay? The entire world, the entire universe belongs to him. He loves you. He loves you and he cares for you. And here's the thing, there's a place in the Bible where it says he makes rain to fall on the righteous and the wicked. You know, he provides for good people and bad people. But we don't need to worry. That's the honest answer. The honest truth, we don't need to worry. All we've got to do is we've got to find where God's favour is. That's the only job. I mean, dare I say it, that's the only job any Christian has. I mean, that's a bit of a, could be a controversial statement. But all we have to do is say, God, what do you want me to do? You know, where is your blessing? What shall I do now? And that includes, like, your finances at home, with your families, preaching to people. That includes evangelism, to where you live, everything. All we need to do is just say, God, okay, what next? What should we do? What's the plan? And that's where rest and obedience come in. So the rest is where you spend time with God, and you're kind of rebuilding your internal life. You're quieting down all the, like, the loud noises, the media, and like everything that's going on that's kind of distracting you from God. And you're just kind of taking a moment saying, okay, God, what's the plan? What should we do? And then obedience. And, I feel like that's really what I'm trying to convey here. It's just rest, obedience equals favour. And I'll draw to a close now, I think, because that's. But just to sum up, if I can, just as I said, rest is essential to Christian growth. If you're not resting, you're not growing, and if you're not growing, that's a problem as a Christian. And obedience to God's call and purpose is even more important. And sometimes God doesn't send a neon sign going, this is what I want you to do. Sometimes he's already given you a general. It's not always clear. Sometimes you just say, go and preach to the poor. You know, well, which poor? Doesn't say anything. Well, you just go and preach, find a poor person. Preach it. Sometimes you just have to do something. You're kind of like, well, I know this is generally what God was saying, so I suppose I could kind of do this. And God may say, well, actually, that's not quite what I meant. Here's what I meant. Here's the person you need to speak to. You know, there's a certain element of, as you go, God directs you. And the other thing is, God can provide in every situation you find yourself in. He'll never be surprised. He's always prepared for anything that you have in your life if you will trust him, and if you will follow him, and if you will obey him. So that really sums up what I'd like to say before. Before I close, I'd like to pray. If that's all right, I think. So Father God, I would like to pray that you would help us to be a church that